Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations.
Woo! Yes, I think it's plural.
It should be, right?
Yes.
So, we are church drunking here on the, not quite eve, but coming close to the eve
the
of
Sunday
Fat Tuesday.
Eve of it.
Yeah, so
close
we are
enough.
Almost into Fat Tuesday. Technically, this is our bonus episode, ending our last season, which is really kind of leading us right into our next season, which usually starts for Lent. So for those of you who are longtime listeners, you know the rules, but we'll tell you anyway.
From
and if
the
you
top,
happen
yes.
to have stumbled across us for this Mardi Gras celebration, then have fun. Good luck.
Yeah.
So we are Catholic. You don't have to be. We encourage everybody to join us in this spiritual stumble of drunken stupor.
I love it.
Sometimes we get a little cursy. Sometimes we get a little heretical. If you're not down with that,
just then, depends on the level of libation.
Yeah. Also, it's Fat Tuesday. So if you're not down with that, you should still listen so that it's like get it all out
drink
of your system.
More.
Yeah. So this is going to be kind of a quick hitter. We just want to talk a little bit about Fat Tuesday, and a little bit about Mardi Gras celebrations and some fun facts, and that will lead us into our Lenten season.
Yeah. So. And this is kind of an anniversary for Church Drunk as a thing that we do
kind
and
of.
Maybe you listen to people out there.
So if you've been along for the ride, happy anniversary.
Yeah.
Welcome
like
back.
This is our third round of Fat Tuesday little previews. Yeah. If somebody wants to start listening to Church Drunk, this is when you would start.
This is when you would start. This is a good time to start.
Yeah.
So, I am Guess, as always, here with my co-host, Dizzy. And Diz, what are you drinking?
I don't even know, but it's a bombastic?
It's a bomber. A bomber.
Oh,
which is like a half a growler.
A half a growler.
Yeah, it's a 32-ounce bottle of Imperial Red Ale.
And I do like me some reds.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of makes sense, because there's like... the reason that we went with this was like the king cake is a Mardi Gras tradition.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of royal symbolism that goes with Mardi Gras, particularly in New Orleans.
Right. Which is like the modern, like Grand Central Station for Mardi Gras. Like that's what everybody thinks about.
And as we will learn in just a few short moments, the colors of Mardi Gras go back potentially, arguably, to a visit from... one of the Romanov royalties of Russia to New Orleans.
Preview, foreshadowing, a bit of a teaser there, Guess.
An Imperial Red Ale makes sense. So,
all right. Well, look at that. Kings upon kings.
Yeah.
Well, so we're drinking, this is a bomber of Imperial Red from a local brew. And Guess picked this one. And we're both drinking it because this is a quick episode. But I did want to read to you, dear listeners, that if you wanted to make yourself something... more cocktailish.
Yeah, if you really wanted to get Mardi Gras up in this piece and you didn't want to drink a hurricane because
you're not actually in New Orleans.
Right. Yeah, you're more
it's
than 18 years
of
age.
It's kind of the only place you would do that, I feel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very red.
Yeah, drink a yard of hurricane.
Oh my gosh. Everybody has to make that poor choice once in their life.
And can we talk briefly about the fact that drinking awful cocktails like hurricanes on a place called Bourbon Street should be not allowed, right?
It's
like,
just
Bourbon Street
paradox.
Should really only have very good bourbon cocktails.
And instead, not only does it have hurricanes, at least that could be argued as like a New Orleans thing or like a daiquiri or something.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also like margaritas and stuff. Like, how is this even here?
No.
It's just drunk young people, though. And then older people wanting to look at the
drunken youths everywhere.
Yeah. Well, okay. So if you don't want to be that person this Fat Tuesday, but you want something, to enjoy the excess, my first suggestion, which is Double Fist, really. Just go excess. Why not?
Two of whatever you like.
But I like just the name of this is the Bacchanalian.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a big party, all about the sensory enjoyment. So,
Bacchus.
A shot and a half of cognac, a shot of Merlot wine.
Right.
Lemon juice. Half an ounce of lemon juice, half an ounce of agave nectar. It's like a good splash, I would say. And then you shake it, and we would always say 40 times. But really, it's Fat Tuesday, so you just shake it however you want.
Shake it like a Polaroid picture.
And then you strain it into a glass with ice, and I think that sounds probably drinkable.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you measure wine in shots, I get a little bit dubious. But I have had some really good cocktails that incorporate some port wine, which, you know, could work.
And Merlot.
A shot of Merlot.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel like they just want it for kind of the
dicey,
color.
But,
like, because, like, Bacchus would be, like, wine and grapes. Like, it's a very small amount, and really...
Right.
You could just skip that or put something else in.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Shot of something purple.
Yes. Yeah. Although for Fat Tuesday, is it even, it's not even.
Well, it's one of the colors, right? Yeah. So there's purple, okay. green, and gold.
True. True. I was thinking purple with Lent. I'm like, you don't have to get purple yet. Go go other colors before they all disappear.
Which, fun fact number one. All right,
bring us to it. Why are purple,
green,
gold,
and gold? So if you go to New Orleans this time of year, or even if you just go to anywhere this time of year that's having like a Mardi Gras celebration, you'll see the purple, green, and gold. And tradition has it that, so there's a, like, there's the crews. K-R-E-W-E, a crew in New Orleans is kind of like a group, a society that sort of puts on
the,
a parade.
The big,
right?
huge parades.
So there's all these parades that are put on by these different crews. And one of the originals was Rex. And so there would be King Rex of the Rex crew.
King Crew?
Okay. The King Crew.
Okay.
In any event, there's the Rex crew.
Okay.
And they decided, or the king of this crew decided, that they should have some colors that go along with their parade. And this is back in 1850s to 1870s, like the very origins of New Orleans Mardi Gras parades. And so 1872, as legend has it, the Russian Grand Duke Alexis Alexandrovich Romanov was coming to town, and so the Rex crew decided that the color, the house colors of Alexis Alexandrovich Romanov, which were purple, green, and gold, would be the colors of their parade. And then several years later, there was another parade that was like this is, so that's like kind of in dispute. Like some people, like that's kind of the legend that everybody gets taught about it, apparently, is like it was this visit from one of the Romanovs that gave it the colors. And in like 1892, so 20 years later, there was a special parade that was like the symbolism of the colors. And they talk about purple represents justice and green represents faith and gold represents power. So they gave
That's what I had been taught, but I did not know about,
So legend has it, one of the Romanovs came to visit and they picked his house colors, but... that
Did that get debunked?
Somewhat been brought into dispute. And some people say that it goes back to basically, again, it all starts with this Rex crew. They were the originators of it.
They're just making shit up. I mean, like, good for them. This is the church after all.
They believe that a king must have a kingdom and a kingdom must have a flag. And since most flags, like that of the United States and Great Britain, are tricolor flags, that they would have a tricolor sort of theme. Okay. And then they picked... One of them had to be a precious metal, so they went with gold. And I guess there was some dispute whether it would be purple, gold, and green or purple, gold, and black. And nobody really knows why they went with green instead of black. But in
this is like a deep dive guess.
Right?
Guess is going deep on the colors. But the bottom line is it's purple, green, and gold these days.
And let's say that it's because of Russians.
Yes.
Because also... America our Russian overlords.
I mean, turns out we've had a long history.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. What?
If anybody's running the show on Mardi Gras, it's the damn Russians.
So do you think King Alexis from Russia was also during the cruise parade throwing
the beads out?
Yeah.
I don't know.
For a special price, did that also come from him?
I know.
Because it seems like something someone who is, you know, a Russian or enamored with Russians would like to do.
I feel like King Putin would be into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all his Dorito-loving followers.
Trump.
Exactly. I was trying to think about how to work. If you weren't sure what I was going for. Whatever.
So there's first fun
Fat
fact.
Tuesday.
So the colors.
Fat
the
Tuesday
colors
fun facts.
Traditionally are associated with the House of Romanov, but also maybe didn't come from that.
And then we quickly put over them some churchy.
So that's like a fun, not a fact, actually.
Yeah.
That's like
a fun rumor.
Gray area is what
fun
I just dropped.
Legend?
Yeah, fun legend.
Hey, the church is full of fun legends.
Yeah. So what do you got? Tell me something about Mardi Gras.
Well, I don't know about Mardi Gras, but I mean, it's not even a fun fact, but one thing
about Fat Tuesday.
Well, okay. So we'll go with Fat Tuesday. I do like that in many of the European countries, Poland and Britain, Isles especially, the pancake thing.
Yeah.
And that became, because originally the fast was not just meat, but also dairy and like anything that came from animals.
Right.
So like trying to get rid of all your butter and your milk and your... dairy products, whatever it is. So, you know, you make pancakes, and that's a fun one. That's actually like a fun thing.
I feel
like pancakes are universally joyful. Everybody likes pancakes.
Everybody does like pancakes.
You don't like pancakes, and if you're like someone, I don't eat gluten, like you can have cornmeal pancakes. Yeah. Those are great.
Or like potato pancakes.
Potato pancakes.
Makes latkes.
Yes. Yeah. The Polish people put like jelly in the middle.
And
like,
really,
it's great.
It's like a...
Eat them.
It's like a fridge cleanout. Like, I mean, it's not as exciting as Mardi Gras to say like, it's fridge cleanout Tuesday, but that really is kind of what it is. Like, mm-hmm. get rid of all the stuff that you're not going to be able to eat for the next 40 days.
Right.
Which actually, speaking of 40 days, you did stumble across a really fun...
That was my next fun fact. Do you want to tell it? You can have it. Look at me. I'm about to be so giving.
No, go, because I've got more, but you drop this on us.
Okay. Because the other fun fact, I don't feel RS.
This is shocking. This is scandalous, if you ask me.
So, dear listeners, I started down this pathway because I wanted to understand, like, when we actually, as a church, as a people, as the body of Christ, started abstaining for so fucking long. Every year, anybody who listens, I hit a point where I'm like, why is it so long? It is actually a very long time.
How come it couldn't have just been like
27 days? And so I start investigating. And apparently, you know, CatholicEducation.org, shout out to them, has an article where they explain that St. Irenaeus, who died in the year 203, so early days of the church, was writing a letter to the Pope talking about, you know, how we prepare for Easter. And pretty much he says everybody does some kind of fasting. Some people do one day. Some do 2 days.
Yeah.
Some people do 40 hours. These all seem like reasonable things to do.
Yeah.
Even if you're not going to do, like, sidebar, we can talk about, like, collating your meals or whatever, but, like, just fast.
Somewhere between 24 to 48 hours, and 40 being a pretty happy medium number.
And a nice and biblical number. Everybody likes it. Well, apparently...
Hours,
key word, hours. So apparently, some historian, Rufinus, translated this passage from Greek into Latin, and the punctuation made between the number 40 and the word hours made the meaning appear to be 40 days, 24 hours a day. So, what?
No,
like,
what?
This is why grammar matters.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Rufinus.
Yeah, fuck you, Rufinus.
No, no wonder they named a date rape drug after you.
I took this drink and then, drunk dog present. you know, it was just like 40 days or something later.
Yeah.
You got roofied. God. You got Rufinus.
You got Rufinus.
Oh, my gosh.
We all got Rufinus every time we have to fast for 40 days.
What happens to us collectively is that we get like... date raped by the liturgical calendar. Anyways, so 40 hours is not 40 days.
No.
And we do, but we have been, in all fairness, like they apparently knew this and just stuck with it because they did. And they knew it pretty early. Like, we've been doing 40 days of Lent. I forget exactly which century, but early centuries.
And this is why. Shout out to all the Catholic school teachers, like, the nuns out there that are, like, rapping kids on the knuckles, being like, punctuation matters.
Mm-hmm.
Because here we are, centuries later, torturing ourselves for 40 days, when really it could have been 40 hours, had it not been for improper punctuation.
And those sisters probably think an adequate penance.
Yeah.
All right, so look at that lead. And speaking of penance, fun fact about that?
So here, I don't really, it's not necessarily penance. So here's
I have one.
So there's, what I came across when I started doing a little digging here, you know, trying to figure out some of the origins of the Fat Tuesday Mardi Gras celebrations, I stumbled across this term, Shrovetide.
Yes.
Which is not something that I'm super familiar with.
Right.
And Shrovetide, so like, again, in part because, you know, periods of time, obviously, when we don't know the difference between 40 hours and 40 days, they can get a bit nebulous.
One little tick of the pen.
Some people consider Shrovetide refers to the pre-Lenten period. Mm-hmm. And some folks would argue that that's basically from Epiphany through Ash Wednesday.
Brutal.
And Ash Wednesday can come very late in the year, as we know, because this year it's almost as late as it possibly gets to start Lent. But so Shrovetide is this pre-Lenten period, but somewhere along the line, according to the Wikipedia, Shrovetide was starting. It has been settled that it starts on. You ready for a bunch of words that I don't know what they mean?
Yeah, I'm like dying to hear.
Septuagesima Sunday.
Oh yeah.
So that's when Shrovetide starts.
Mm-hmm.
It includes Sexagesima Sunday, Quinquagesima Sunday. That one's my favorite. Jeez. Also known as Shrove Sunday, as well as Shrove Monday, and culminates on Shrove Tuesday. So basically,
it's a lot of Shroven.
It's the carnival season, right? So it's like, if you know much about like the actual celebration of Mardi Gras in New Orleans or the carnival celebrations that kind of go on around the world, it's usually like a solid couple of weeks, if not more. So it's kind of sticking to this like the two Sundays before you actually even get to like Ash Wednesday. You're ramping up these celebrations and the parades and the dancing and the feathers in the Rio de Janeiro masks. And the whatnot. Yeah. So like everything gets a little crazy during Shrovetide.
And do you know that what the word Shrove comes from? Okay. So this is what I thought you were going to, I didn't realize that Wikipedia was serving you so poorly here, but I have to look.
Well, I mean, I'm sure I probably could have researched more. But,
I could have looked I'm not giving you a hard time for that. I mean, it's what it is.
So what's this Shrove deal?
So it's actually a verb, shrive, which refers to like going to confession and like getting penance given to you. So, and there's the bell that they would ring at the churches to like call people to confession was called the shriving bell.
Yeah.
So that's where it's like you need to go get clean because like, y'all are
ding, 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 ding. And then it's like shame.
Exactly. Shame. Throughout the streets, they parade you naked. Yeah. No, wait, that's
a different thing.
Okay.
But it does seem like it's interesting, this kind of like morphing that happened from something that was meant to be
penitential.
So like Shrove Tuesday really was for thinking about all of the things that you need to repent from.
So you'd be like,
so that you
could feel Lent right. Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it seems like Lent is that period of thinking about all the things that you need to abstain from. And Fat Tuesday is the time to get it all out of your system.
Yep.
Like that Shrove time.
Bulk up
like,
before the famine
get it
hits.
All done. Yeah, totally.
Yes.
So kind of an interesting like contrast there. So
we also talked about how the date, like you mentioned, this is one of the latest years it could be.
Yeah.
Ash Wednesday is March 6th, and Fat Tuesday is March 5th. And the latest it could be would be March 9th.
Right.
For Ash Wednesday.
On account of the lunar calendar.
The lunar calendar.
Right. Because so we have Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon
after
of
the equinox.
Spring.
Yeah.
And so if you work backwards from there, 40 days, but it actually ends up to be 46 because of Sundays that don't count.
And apparently
Lent.
Saturdays and Sundays didn't count for a few years, and then now they all do. And
so you end up working backwards 46 days from that first full moon after first Sunday after the first full moon of spring. And also, then you get where you have Ash Wednesday and therefore where Fat Tuesday lies in the calendar. And this year it's
super late. Yeah. And shout out just on the side to Mrs. Guess, who like fully knew the whole full moon after the equinox or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, we were like, wait, what? We had to look this up. Like, we knew it was the lunar calendar, but like could not have like recited that well.
People who have actually had to put together a Catholic school calendar know exactly when Easter is going to be. Like, they know.
Dude, I have had to do that. Yeah. And I'm just like, Google, when's Easter this year?
I found, as I stumbled across Shrovetide, I found that this is great. This is one of my favorite things. So in Northern Germany, I find oftentimes that if you want
Germans are so weird.
A funky
we love you guys.
Celebration,
so fucking weird.
Look to the Germans.
Yeah.
The Germans know how to celebrate in weird style.
We talked about Santa Claus.
Right, yeah. In Northern Germany, local tradition states that sausages and sauerkraut are to be eaten at Shrovetide in order for good luck to follow.
I'm
so
down.
Eat your sausage and your kraut, and then you'll get good luck during Shrovetide, but abstain from them, of course, during Lent.
Yeah.
And then there is a Bohemian tradition of a Shrovetide procession where a man masquerades through the streets and apparently has a straw hat, and if you can pull straw from the hat of, like, I don't know, Captain Shrovetide, like, whatever, whatever, this man who is personifying Shrovetide, you steal straw from the hat and you place it under your hen and
put this under your hen, my good sir.
And in the coming spring, those eggs will surely hatch.
Mm-hmm,
apparently, it's good luck for the fertility of your hen to steal the straw from Captain Shrovetide's hat.
That was probably like a really important thing for people at some point. Like you needed those hens to lay good
Don't
little
count your chickens before they're hatched unless you have stolen the straw from Captain Shrovetide and put it under that hen, in which case those chickens might as well be already fucking hatched.
Yeah, hearty first world fat breasted chickens. Okay, so that's a pretty good one. Another thing I really like about the Fat Tuesday and even the Shrove season, which yes. I think does get celebrated more yeah. in places like New Orleans because they have parades for a long time.
For sure, yeah. It's part of the tradition, part of the culture.
Besides the libations, the desserts, because yes. king cake is a real thing.
Choking hazard, but...
Yes. Okay, so this is a fun fact about it. Did you know that the king cake tradition where you find the little plastic baby...
Little baby Jesus.
...is actually a pagan ritual, which in classic Catholic tradition, we just write over.
Tell me we used to actually have babies inside of giant cakes. No. And it was only, like, whoever eats the baby.
Dude, no. It's so much more innocent than the okay. pagan tradition. Good. Only the Catholics right. put a baby in cake and are like, you win! And you're like, but there's a baby in my cake! No. They had a feast for the Roman god Saturn, Saturnalia, okay. and yes. there would be a fava bean in the cake, and you would get to be the king or queen of the day if you found a fava bean. Throwback, shout out to Jitterbug Perfume, where yes. Port Alibar has a similar experience.
True.
Not in a good way. But anyway, so if you, and we have that part too, where if you find the baby, like you get to be right. the king or queen of Mardi Gras, like we are just straight borrowing from an older.
And also, if you find the baby Jesus in the king cake, I believe you also have to provide the next year's king cake.
The king cake,
you
yes.
are the one who is responsible for doing it next, which is kind of like.
We take the fun out of things sometimes.
Yeah, like a win-lose kind of a deal.
I mean, so king cake is not always actually the best tasting cake.
I don't.
It dries out, but I feel like it could be better cake. Like I'm sure somebody's making.
Well, as we found
like,
out,
like moist, fluffy, like with rich cinnamon.
Right.
Cake.
Well, there's a difference between things that you buy in the store,
yeah.
and things that you make yourself,
yeah.
such as the fruit cake that we made.
True. That was good.
Brother Rick.
Does Brother Rick have a king cake recipe?
Oh, we're going to have to find
out. We will
out.
Get back to you on that.
We're going to have to find
okay,
out.
Okay, right.
It's breads, not cake, but there's got to be something
He's
in there
when
we
go to...
He's
got some cakes in there.
Yeah. I'm finishing up the rolls and cornbread section okay. during ordinary time. During Shrovetide.
Good job, by the way.
During Shrovetide. doing rolls and cornbread, and then we'll get into Lent very soon.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
So, maybe if you make king cake at home, it could be good.
Yeah, maybe that's our
I mean, I've even had the ones that, like, are mailed from there and, like, ones made at local bakeries, and they're all pretty dry.
Yeah.
So if you know how to make king cake taste
maybe we'll do
good.
A little research. We'll see if we can make one, and then maybe we'll upload it on the blog and be like, look at this fucking king cake! It's so good!
So good! But if a listener knows how, you could just tell us, too. You could email us at churchdrunk@gmail.com. We'll
yeah.
follow your recipe. Send us a recipe. We'll tell you if
yeah,
it's good or
tweet
not.
Tweet us your king cake recipe. At Church Drunk Pod.
Yep.
And that officially wraps it up for this season. Actually, no, we already wrapped
it up. That's our little bonus.
This is the bonus episode.
Preview. Get ready. Hey, if you like Church Drunk, you should share it with somebody. Because Lent is the best time to be church drunk.
Yes, it's true. It's necessary to be church drunk.
Yeah.
So we'll be back with a beginning of Lent, beginning of a new season, mm-hmm. beginning of what are we giving up for Lent?
40 days, not 40 hours of deprivation.
We should just do it for... Now that we know, we should just do it for 40 hours. We should just be like, no, I'm not.
Nope. I'm a traditionalist.
You're a traditionalist.
I'm going back to the beginning.
All I'm saying is by Ash Friday, we could be done with Lent.
Could you imagine? We're like, woo, that was tough.
Have a steak every Friday for the next 40 days. All right. Well, in any event, we'll be back angry, bitter, drunk, as always.
Eat some cake, drink some booze. Happy Fat Tuesday.
Church drunk. We're always choking on the baby Jesus.